Robert Smith for Children's Church at this time. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. As we finish up our series, What Child Is This? Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I just thank you, Lord, for Christmas season. I pray you just teach us this morning all over again that you are the Savior of the world. And I pray, Lord, before the service is over, everyone would be convinced, Lord, that you are our Savior too. Pray you come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray you open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Every Black Friday, all over America, it's as traditional as a turkey and some mistletoe. Black Friday. Because only in America are people willing to beat the snot out of each other for even more schlock just one day after supposedly being thankful for everything they already have. You say, "Well, Kevin, what were those people fighting over?" Does it matter? Holy peace on earth, goodwill to men, folks. Do you think people need Jesus or what? And why do they need Jesus?
"The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord."
We're finishing up a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called What Child Is This? Looking at who Jesus really is according to the words of the angel himself. So far in this series, we looked at the first two things the angel said. Jesus is the Lord and Jesus is the Christ. And today we finish this series by looking at the third thing the angel said. Jesus is also the Savior. And to see that, we turn today to Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. In this part of Matthew chapter 1, the angel appears to Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, and tells him that Jesus is going to be born. And in our text today, the angel also tells Joseph that Jesus is the Savior. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we want to know what child this really is, we need to know the truth about Jesus the Savior too. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, tells us three reasons why Jesus is the Savior of the world. And not just at Christmas time, but especially in these last days. And let's look and see what those three reasons are. The first thing we see from this text, the first reason why Jesus is the Savior, is because of what He saves us from. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 18 to 25. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, "Well, Kevin, everybody knows that Jesus is the Savior." They do. See the billboard? "The Word became flesh," John chapter 1, verse 14, with a picture of Donald Trump above it, implying that Donald Trump is the Savior, that Donald Trump is Jesus. See what the old lady said at the Trump rally, Bucks County, Pennsylvania, back in November of 2024?
I came to see our God, the Savior, Mr. Trump.
Our God, the Savior?
Yes.
Donald Trump is God, the Savior? Really? Well, there's what Donald Trump says about it.
I'll have to say one of the greatest privileges of my life has been being able to count Donald Trump as a friend. I've known him for...
Donald Trump gets on to Tom Jeffries Church in Dallas, Texas, and says, I am not the Savior. The Savior is the one who's above me. Donald Trump says over and over again, he is not the Savior. People still think that he is. Jesus says over and over that he is the Savior. People still think that he isn't. Because what is it that Jesus saves us from? Verse 21. You shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus' name literally means God saves. You can't tell somebody that they need a Savior if you don't first of all tell them what it is they need to be saved from. And the Bible tells us what that is. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And that sin nature, that tendency to sin was passed down generation to generation all the way down to you and me today. So that you and me and the guy behind the tree are all sinners. Psalm chapter 51 verse 5. Every single one of us is born with that spiritual birth defect. And you see it. See little 6-week-old Jamie Musa from Bridgeport, Connecticut, ticked off at the world? Doesn't take long at all for that sin nature to kick in, does it? See the little boy opening the gift?
Open it up, Rebecca.
No!
What's the matter?
Somebody's getting nothing for Christmas. Romans 3:23, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we've got to think about that because the Bible says God is so holy, God is so righteous, our sin separates us from God and causes us to deserve punishment from God. And if something isn't done about that sin will separate us from God for eternity in a place called hell. Amen. You can't appreciate the good news until you first of all understand the bad news. And here's the bad news. Every single one of us, because of our sin, is hopelessly and helplessly lost in the face of a just and a holy God and deserving of nothing but hell. And I realize that is not seeker-sensitive, purpose-driven, New World Order, Laodicean church growth movement, but it's the God's honest truth because it says so right there in that Bible. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says the wages of sin is death, which means because of our sin, each one of us owes God one debt, which means one of these days, unless Jesus Christ comes first, every single one of us in this room is going to die. It's just a matter of when and where and how. Sin is in the process of killing every single one of us right now as we sit in this church. Because everybody sins. Amen. Kevin, what are you getting for Christmas? Fat. I'm getting fat for Christmas. Yeah. What to my wondering eyes did appear? 10 extra pounds on my hips and my rear. Katie Cabot, the woman who got canoodling with her boss on the Kiss Cam at the Coldplay concert last July, has taken so much heat, she had to quit her job. She can't even go out in public anymore. University of Michigan football coach Sharon Moore, married with 3 kids. But for the last 3 years, he'd been hooking up with a side girl in the athletic department. Last December the 10th, broke into her house, assaulted her, threatened to commit suicide, felony home invasion. His career, his marriage is over. Michigan fans deserve better. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. The way of the transgressor is hard. Actor and director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle murdered by their own son last Sunday night. Nick Reiner. Guy had been in and out of rehab 18 times in the last 10 years. Sin not only condemns, it also kills. And if you don't think that sin is real, how about the guilt? Got this letter last month. Dear Pastor Garner, I listen to you every Sunday morning. Would you please pray for me? Because I can't quit drinking. It's cost me jobs, 3 marriages, and 6 sons and daughters that don't want anything to do with me anymore. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to stop, how many AA meetings I've been to, sponsors I've had, rehab, hospital programs. Nothing works. I'm even drinking as I'm writing this note to you right now. I hate myself and I hate my life so much, I'm ready to kill myself. Because no matter what I do, I cannot stop. I cannot change. What should I do? My fellow sinners, listen to me. We can't help ourselves. We can't change ourselves. We can't save ourselves, but Jesus can. Jesus is the Savior because He saves us from sin. We know that Jesus is the Savior because of the way that He was born. Verses 18 and 19 said Joseph and Mary were engaged to be married, and they were this close to changing their relationship status on Facebook when all of a sudden Joseph noticed there's a baby bump because Mary had one in the oven. So he figured that she'd been on Tinder and she had a high body count. But because he loved her and didn't want her slut shamed on Instagram, he figured he'd just get one of those quiet, cheap divorces online, move on and find somebody else on Christian Mingle. Because when your babe tells you that she's preggers by the Holy Spirit, then after the child is born, three dudes show up with gifts for the baby, it makes you wonder. But verse 20, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and tells him Mary really was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And spoiler alert, it was a boy. And Jesus checks all the boxes for the Savior. He's God, verse 23, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus Christ fulfilled all 322 Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. 322. The odds of one person fulfilling just 8 of those prophecies, either by accident or on purpose, is 1 in 100 quadrillion. Amen. Jesus is from the line of David because his earthly father Joseph was from the line of David. Matthew chapter 1 verse 11. And verse 25, when Joseph adopted Jesus and gave him the name Jesus, Jesus became officially a member of the line of David. Jesus is the Savior because He was virgin born. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14, the virgin will be with child. He fulfilled that prophecy. Because Luke chapter 1 verse 34, Joseph and Mary never had sex. And verse 25 tells us even after they got married, they did not have sex until after Jesus was born. So there was no way in the world that Jesus was Joseph's biological son. You say, well, Kevin, there's a lot of things in the animal kingdom. There's a lot of things that have virgin birth. Water fleas, zebra sharks, whiptail lizards, California condors, marbled crayfish. Yeah, but how many times has it happened with human beings? One time. And you're reading about it right here. And folks, we got to realize the virgin birth isn't just some Christmas thing. It's the entire foundation of our whole Christian faith. Well, Kevin, why does it matter so much? I'll tell you why it matters. Because if Jesus was not born of a virgin, that means Jesus had a sinful nature. And if Jesus had a sinful nature, He wasn't dying on the cross for our sins. He was dying for His own, and we're still going to hell. You say, but Kevin, even if a sinful nature wasn't passed on to Jesus by an earthly father, Joseph, through his blood, a sinful nature was surely passed on to Jesus through His mother, Mary, because she carried Him. And Mary was a sinner, right? A sinful nature passed through her blood. No. Because years ago, doctors figured out the placenta that runs from the mother to the unborn baby in the womb. Oxygen and nutrients flow from the mom through the placenta to the baby. Waste flows from the baby through the placenta to the mom so she can eliminate it. But at no time does the blood of the mother ever mix with the blood of the baby. Otherwise, every mother and every baby would have the same blood type, and they don't. So not one single time did one single drop of Mary's blood ever mix with Jesus' blood when He was in the womb. Jesus had no sinful nature. Jesus is the Savior because He saves us from sin. Except no posers. Because at Christmas time especially, the woods are full of them. All of us Christians believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin on December the 25th, that He died and rose again to save us from our sins. So, of course, every single Christmas you see exactly the same thing all over the internet and all over social media. All kinds of memes posted by atheists and trolls claiming that other famous people and other gods and pagan religions were born of a virgin on December the 25th and they died and rose too. So the idea is, Christians, we just borrowed all those pagan myths from the pagan religions, applied them to Jesus. Jesus isn't real, and you're an idiot if you think He is. And young people, listen to me. I guarantee you, if you go to college, you'll hear this exact same kind of claptrap too. But here's the thing. You start investigating those claims, none of them are true. Egyptian god Horus was not born of a virgin because he had married parents, and his birth was never celebrated in Egypt on December the 25th. Horus was never crucified because crucifixion didn't exist in Egypt at that time. And no ancient sources said he was dead for 3 days or rose from the dead like Jesus did. Zoroaster was a real person, but his parents were married, so he wasn't born of a virgin and wasn't born on December the 25th. Attis of Phrygia was supposedly conceived in his mother by an almond. Because sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't, I guess. Mithra was a Roman god, Mithras was a Persian god, and Mitra is a Hindu god. So which one are they talking about? They don't know and they don't care, just as long as it slams Christianity. But none of the Mithra things were born of a virgin. None of them were born on December the 25th. And the idea that Mithra supposedly died and rose from the dead is just a flat-out lie. Greek god Dionysius. No ancient source ever says he was virgin born on December the 25th or that he died and rose again. In fact, the idea of a male god being born of a virgin on December the 25th who dies and rises from the dead isn't found anywhere in the culture of anybody in the ancient world ever. Notice ever until Jesus Christ came along. And I know somebody's hearing this. You say, but Kevin, Christians could have still borrowed the idea of the virgin birth from pagan religion, because the virgin birth isn't mentioned in the Bible till Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The virgin shall be with child. And Isaiah prophesied that 700 B.C., 700 years before the birth of Christ. And all the stories about the virgin-born pagans and those gods, they go back long before that, way long before that. Yeah, but here's the thing. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 is not the first place in your Bible where the virgin birth is mentioned. The first mention goes way back to Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God is pronouncing sentence on them. And he says this to the serpent, King James, I will put enmity between you and the woman. King James, between your seed, the serpent, and her seed. Not his seed, her seed. People. Women ain't got no seed. A virgin don't have no sex, and a woman ain't got no seed. So how in the world, according to this verse, can she have a child, notice a male, without the seed of a man? When has that ever happened? I'll tell you when it's happened. When the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she got pregnant with Jesus Christ. Amen. And according to that verse, Genesis 3:15, that seed of that woman grew up to destroy the devil's power. So there's the virgin birth and the gospel on just the third page of your Bible. So the idea of a virgin birth doesn't go all the way back to the pagan world. It goes all the way back to the beginning of the world, clear back to the time of creation. Amen. And how do we know that? 9 years ago, archaeologists from Italy found this drawing on the wall of a cave in the desert in southwest Egypt. And you see it right there. There's a man, there's a woman, and there's a little baby in the middle with a star over top of him. See it? There's the father, there's the virgin mother, there's the boy born of the virgin mother, the star overhead pointing to the God who's behind it. And those archaeologists said that that cave drawing was well over 5,000 years old. People, your Bible says the world is only 6,000 years old. So this idea of the virgin birth was one of those eternal truths. One of those original truths that God started laying on people's hearts clear back from the time of creation. So the Christians didn't copy from the pagans. The pagans copied it from the Christians. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's Son, His only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Amen. None of those other gods were God. Jesus is God. None of those other gods are real. Jesus is real. None of those other gods can save you. Jesus Christ can save you. So don't believe everything you read on the internet. But you do believe everything you read in your Bible, especially about Jesus taking away sin. The first reason why Jesus is the Savior is because of what Jesus saves us from. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second reason why Jesus is the Savior. Not only because of what He saves us from, but also because of what He saves us by. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 21. Because the crazy thing is, God didn't have to save us at all. He could have just thrown us into the eternal barbecue. And Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago knowing the vast majority of people would hate Him and want absolutely nothing to do with Him. He came into His own and His own received Him not. He was despised and rejected of men. But Romans chapter 5 verse 8, God demonstrates His love for us in this. Wait a minute. God loves us? Sinful people who deserve nothing but hell? God loves me? Me? Because I wouldn't even love me. Try living with me for a week. AT&T asked me, do you want unlimited minutes? I said, there's nobody in the world that wants to talk to me that long. Men's Health Magazine says to have an ideal shape, I need a 54-inch chest and a 32-inch waist. I finally figured out what was wrong with me. I'm living upside down. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Who does that? Who dies for people that hate them? Who loves people that don't love them back? Jesus died for us while we were still sinners. Amen. Before we even know who Jesus was, Jesus died for us. Before we were even born, he died for us. 2,000 years before we were even born, he died for us. Knowing that the vast majority of us would not give him the time of day. Hallelujah. We denied friend request after friend request after friend request from Jesus Christ. He never unfriended us. The reason Jesus was born in a barn is because he was a lamb. The reason Jesus became a human being is so he could die as a sacrifice. The reason Jesus had no sin of his own was so he could take our sin on himself. And he did it at the cross. Because God is so holy, he had to punish our sin. But because God is also loving, he didn't want to punish us who did everything wrong. So he punished Jesus instead, who never did anything wrong. Amen. So at the cross is made the great exchange. Your sin was credited to Jesus' account, so God sees him as guilty. His righteousness was credited to your account, so God sees you as innocent. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. Last Sunday, December the 14th, Bondi Beach, Sydney, Australia, two Pakistani Muslims, a father and a son, walked up to hundreds of Jews celebrating Hanukkah on the beach and opened fire with long guns, murdering 16 of them and wounding over 40 others. But then all of a sudden, a man named Alaa Ahmad jumped up and did that.
We've got an interview coming in. We understand that this gentleman's name is Ahmed Al-Ahmed. He's a 43-year-old married father of two. And he raced in to help. We understand... Apparently owns a fruit shop in Sutherland. No experience with guns. He was just walking past. We are told that he has two bullets in his arm.
Took a couple of hits in the arm and in the wrist and the hand, but he disarmed that shooter. And because of that, he was able to save hundreds and hundreds of people. The guy's a hero. Amen. But you know what? 2,000 years ago, on the first Good Friday, the wrath of God was being poured out on human beings. Jesus jumped up, ran over, and jumped on a cross and took all those hits for us and disarmed all the powers and principalities that were trying to take us out. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. And because of that, Jesus wasn't just wounded like that guy. Jesus was killed. Jesus died to take those sins away and to save millions and millions of more people who would turn to him in repentance and faith. The reason for the season, this is the season. That's the reason. And no other faith system in the world has that. That verse 21, he shall save his people from their sins. In the Greek, that phrase literally means he and nobody else. Jesus and nothing else, nobody else. Only Jesus did that. Because no other faith system in the world has a God with any kind of system that takes away our sin. That does diddly squat to take it away. Only Jesus does that. No other faith system has a cross. No other faith system has a God who dies for guilty people. Islam doesn't have that. All Islam has is a book of rules and Sharia law that shows absolutely no mercy and no grace for people because Allah never became a people. He never became a human being like Jesus did. The picture you see on the screen is a Muslim man from Nigeria named Ilawa Isa. And 11 years ago, he stole some food because his family was starving. And the punishment, according to Sharia law, they cut his hand off. The Bible says a hand for a hand, not a hand for a thing. So now everywhere this man goes, people will know just by looking at him what sin he committed. It's always out there right in the open. And not only that, because they cut his hand off, he's so disabled he can't hardly work. His family's starving again. So what was the point? See, Christians, we have a God who took all of our sin on himself and all the punishment for our sin on himself when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And Jesus wasn't just cut. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 8, he was cut off. He died. He died and rose again to take away our sins forever.
Amen.
Because Jesus is enough. Salvation is not Jesus plus anything else. Salvation is not Jesus plus a bunch of good things that I do. Jesus is enough. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. It's only him. Salvation is only him. And folks, we got to realize there is nobody, absolutely nobody, who is beyond saving. The pictures you see on the screen are Tasmanian devils in Australia. Nasty things, vicious things, horrible things like Cujo. Because they fight all the time. They make these horrible, high-pitched, screeching noises like demons do. And their teeth are so strong they can actually cut through bone. And they stink because they constantly eat rotten, dead things. Horrible, nasty, vicious things. The Latin name is Sarcophilus Satanicus, which literally means satanic flesh eater. They ever attacked you, they peel your arm like a banana. That's how vicious they are. Well, about 5 years ago, this mysterious contagious disease broke out among Tasmanian devils in Australia. And they died by the tens of thousands. But then last year, for some reason, God in his infinite mercy stopped that disease. Scientists don't know what caused it. God did it. And now they're repopulating it. And scientists are reintroducing Tasmanian devils to all different parts of Australia. Well, people, let me ask you. If God loves nasty, stinky, demonic Tasmanian devils, you don't think that God loves you? If God loves those nasty, horrible, stinky things that he created, you don't think he loves you, the crown of his creation? If he loves Tasmanian devils, those nasty, vicious, Cujo, stinky things enough to save them, you don't think God loves you enough to save you? And I know there's people hearing this sermon right now, and I get these calls every single week. Kevin, do you really think God would forgive me? The hell that I put my parents through? The porn? The affairs that I had? The way that I hurt my spouse? All the partying that I did when I was in college? The children that I fathered somewhere I don't even know where they're at now? The same-sex relationships? The abortion? Kevin, I murdered my own baby! Do you honestly think Jesus could forgive me of that? Listen to me. Absolutely he will. If you turn to him in repentance and faith. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You think God's going to destroy you. You think he's got it in for you because of your sin. Kevin, my husband and I, we shacked up before we got married. And because of that, God caused our first baby to die. No. Kevin, all the drinking that I did, that's why God's not healing me right now. No. All the things that I did in the past. I should have gone to church a lot more than what I did. I got this one 2 months ago. That's why I've got prostate cancer. Now, God struck me with prostate cancer. No. Listen to me. Every single sin you ever committed was punished in the body of Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago at Calvary. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. So what God's doing with you right now is not punishing you for your sin. He is preparing you for service. You can't possibly get so low, you can't possibly get so far away that Jesus can't save you. Amen. Psalm 139 verse 8, if you make your bed by the gates of hell, he can still save you.
Amen.
And he can save the worst of all. Those of us who thought that we were saved even though we were still lost. Because I know exactly what that's like. The picture you see on the screen is a birth certificate. Doctor gave my parents when I was born. And that birth certificate says, Kevin Wayne Garner, born at Iroquois Memorial Hospital, Watseka, Illinois, 3:27 p.m. on the 15th day of February, 1963. And where it says weight, it says 10 pounds, 11 ounces. And that's not a misprint. I was a big boy. My mom said it was like giving birth to a bowling ball. Dad's name, Robert Lee Garner. Mother's name, Phyllis Elaine Garner. And to prove that it was really me that was born, they stuck some ink on the bottom of my feet and put my footy prints up there in the corner. picture you see there on the far upper left, that's me in the middle. I'm about 2 years old at Christmas time. And as you can tell, I was a really cute baby. So what happened between then and now, I've got no idea. But that boy you see there had a problem, because just like you, I was born a sinner. So just because of the way that I was born, I was by nature an object of the wrath of God, deserving of nothing but hell. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. And growing up, my parents never told me about being born again. The pastor at the church I went to, Faith Lutheran Church in Watsika, never told me I had to be born again, because he wasn't saved himself. My mom made me and my two older brothers go to Sunday school and confirmation. And the Lutherans would give you a Sunday school pen. And every year you got perfect attendance in Sunday school, they would give you another little metal bar to hang from your pen. So the pen I had ended up being so long, it scraped the top of my shoes when I walked. And I knew Luther's catechism better than Martin Luther did. I knew it so well I could recite it backwards in German while standing on my head and juggling oranges with my feet. I did everything that church told me to do. And if I had died, I'd have still gone to hell, because I wasn't saved. I just had religion. I didn't know Jesus. I just knew about Jesus. See, I wasn't a murderer on death row. I wasn't a member of a cartel. I wasn't a human trafficker. I didn't have $1,000 a day coke habit. But I was still the worst kind of lost you can be. Because you know what's even worse than being lost? Being lost and thinking that you're saved. I didn't have Jesus. What I had was religion. And that'll send you to hell faster than anything in the world. Amen. You want to hear what religion sounds like? 2 years ago, I got this letter after I did a funeral for a man here at Fox River. Pastor Garner, I recently attended your funeral for blank, and there's some things you obviously didn't know about him. I am a proud member of the blank church for over 68 years, the best church in this entire area, and far better than yours. I was president of the board for 42 years, oversaw the deacons, children's Sunday school, sang lead in the choir for many years with my great tenor voice, and my wife and I still keep that church going with very generous offerings that we give. Blank was a member of our church, but he probably didn't give any money, and the only reason he probably ever came is because he ran a business that cheated people, and he thought going to church would cover up his guilt. And the only reason he went to your church is because later in life he was afraid of going to hell. So it was all your silly talk about being saved that lured him to Fox River. He should have just gotten more involved at our church, because all those stupid things you say about being born again just confuse people. Let me set you straight. God saves all people who do good and try to be good. So when I die, I'll know I'll be in heaven, because unlike blank, I've been a very good boy. And notice, not one single time in that letter does he ever mention Jesus. How many of y'all realize God is not impressed with your church? God is not impressed with how many times you go to church, because you're supposed to go to church. God is not impressed by how much money you give to your church, because you're supposed to give some money to your church. God's not impressed by how much time you spend in the Word or how much time you spend in prayer, because you're supposed to be spending time in the Word and spending time in prayer. God is impressed with one single thing, and that is the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, because that is the only thing that can save you. There's people listening to this sermon right now. You're not saved. You're not a Christian. You've been in a church your entire life. And you're hateful, and you're judgmental, and you break all kinds of God's laws. And you're all about religion instead of relationship. You're not on your way to heaven. You're on your way to hell, just like I was 41 years ago. Till July 21st, 1984, when I was watching Jimmy Swaggart on TV, of all people. I don't know what else Jimmy Swaggart was doing in 1984, but I know that night he preached the gospel. And for the first time in my life, I realized being baptized as a baby wasn't going to save me. My Sunday school pen was not going to save me. Being confirmed was not going to save me. Doing everything that church told me to do was not going to save me. And God gave me this vision, this sensation, like I was falling in this dark, bottomless pit, just falling and falling. And suddenly I realized that was hell. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, Kevin, it's now or never. So I did exactly what Jimmy Swaggart on TV told me to do. I confessed my sin to God. I put my faith in the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross is the only thing that can take my sin away. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Savior. The very nanosecond I did that, I was born again by the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Spirit. 41 years, it's never changed. And don't ask me to explain it, because all I can say is, once I was blind, now I can see. Because for the first time in my life, I did not have religion. I had Jesus. So that night I got another birth certificate, a spiritual birth certificate, not for being born, but for being born again. That one on file in heaven. And that one says Kevin Wayne Garner, born into the family of God on the 21st day of July, 1984. Father, the Lord God Almighty. And to prove that it was really me that had been born again, up in the corner, instead of the ink stains from the bottom of my feet, were the blood stains from the nail prints in Jesus' hands. People, listen to me. Religion cannot save you. A church cannot save you. A pastor cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. All the good things in the world cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. And He does it by the cross. The second reason why Jesus is the Savior is because of what He saves us by. Amen. Going on in this text, we see a third thing. A third reason why Jesus is the Savior. Not only because of what He saves us from, not only because of what He saves us by, but third, Jesus is the Savior because of what He saves us for. Amen. And that's also what we see in verses 23 to 25. And what He saves us for is a relationship with God. And I know somebody's hearing this will say, Kevin, I don't have time for that. You don't have time for that? Do you realize that every single thing in your life, every single thing about you is in God's hands? Amen. Do you realize any nanosecond, one tiny little blood vessel could pop in your brain and you're in intensive care? He's God Almighty, people. What do you mean you don't have time for Him? And you've got to realize if you don't have that relationship with Christ, you're going to hell. Amen. If you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ right now, you need to realize you're already going to hell. Amen. I don't ask you to make a decision in this church Sunday after Sunday. You make a choice whether or not you're going to go to heaven or hell when you die. You're already going to hell. So the only choice you have is to trust Jesus Christ for salvation and go to heaven instead. Amen. Do you have that relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ? Amen. Do your kids have that relationship with God? You take your kids to the mall to meet Santa. Why not take your kids to church to meet Jesus? And once you get that relationship with God, you got that assurance. He is with us. God is with us. He's with us everywhere. He's with you in the emergency room. He's with you in the MRI machine. He's with you when you're standing in front of the judge. Amen. He's with you when all hell breaks loose at your family Christmas and somebody needs to say something. He's with you. Zach and Alyssa Zechman, Hendersonville, Kentucky. First two children that they had severe birth defects, so they didn't want any more. So, of course, they got pregnant again, this time with a little girl. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed that there wouldn't be anything wrong with the baby. She had a sonogram done, an ultrasound, last September. See what it saw in the ultrasound? It looks like a picture of Jesus, and that's not AI or Photoshop. It looks like Jesus right there in the womb with that little girl. Allie Meyer and her husband Jordan, Lynchburg, Virginia. Never wanted to have children because she'd been taking massive amounts of medication for Crohn's disease. But guess what? Of course, she gets pregnant too. Worried to death what's going to happen. Look last May. Look what happened here. Look what they saw in the ultrasound inside of her womb. It looks like Jesus on the cross. Psalm chapter 139, verses 15 and 16. His eyes saw your unformed body. His face was not hidden from you when He made you in the secret place. Kevin, how is that possible? I'll tell you why. Because He's not just a God out there. He's a God right in here. Amen. He's with us. November of 2024, a woman named Nancy Simpson lost control of her car on Highway 126 in California, outside of Santa Paula, California. Car ran off the road, crashed through a guardrail, hit an embankment, rolled over a couple times. And almost immediately, there was a man grabbing her around the shoulders through the window of that wreck, pulling her out of the wreckage and pulling her away from the car before it caught on fire. And she couldn't believe it. The man who rescued her was Harrison Ford. Hollywood actor Harrison Ford. You think Harrison Ford is this big time movie actor? He spends all of his time hanging around in mansions in Beverly Hills. But there he was, right when she needed him the most. People have the same idea about Jesus Christ. He's just this big God floating around in space on a cloud somewhere in heaven, keeping the Minnesota Vikings from ever going to a Super Bowl. But there He is, right when you need Him the most. Like a good Savior, Jesus is there. God is with us. We see the evidence all around us. The revival that started after the death of Charlie Kirk has now moved from college campuses to high schools. 1,000 more high school students saved last week in Nashville, Tennessee. Last December the 9th, Hollywood actor Kevin Costner hosted a Christmas special on ABC. It drew 6 million viewers. The special was called The First Christmas. It told the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elon Musk now admits there's a God who created the universe. An evangelist named Stuart Connectly is now having conversations on the phone with Barron Trump, Donald Trump's son, about these incredible, miraculous signs and visions that God has given to Muslims, telling them that Jesus is their Savior. And Stuart Connectly says that Barron Trump is this close to getting saved and becoming a Christian. People, God is with us.
Amen.
And we got to remember that. Because in these last days, the clouds are getting darker. Last weekend, it was like the devil flipped a switch and the gates of hell opened for Islamic Muslim terrorism. Besides the massacre at Bondi Beach in Sydney, Australia, 3 Americans murdered by ISIS in Syria, 2 National Guard and a civilian spokesman, 5 more Muslims arrested in Germany for trying to blow up Christmas markets there, drive-by shooting, Redlands, California, shooting into a house full of Jewish people who are celebrating Hanukkah, last weekend mass shooting at Brown University, 2 people killed, 9 people wounded. And one of the 2 people killed was Ella Wood, a Christian conservative activist that eyewitnesses say the shooter specifically hunted down and murdered. See what globalized the Intifada looks like? And dozens of eyewitnesses at Brown University said when the shooter was killing people, he was screaming, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And we all know what that means. But the police will not release that information. Authorities will not say that that happened. Because we've got to pacify and we've got to coddle the Muslims. Heaven sakes, people. Muslims say that Israel is little Satan, America's big Satan. They're going to kill the Saturday people first, they call it, the Jews who worship on Saturday. Then they're going to kill the Sunday people, us Christians who worship on Sunday. And they're doing it. They're hunting us down in the streets in broad daylight. They're killing us, but we're coddling them because we don't want to offend them. We don't want to hurt their feelings because that might be Islamophobic. People, it's insanity.
Amen.
Laodicean church just keeps getting more and more apostate. There's a pastor named Joel Hilburn from the Gather Church in Houston, Texas. Listen to what he says to his congregation.
My LGBTQ friends and family members are more important to me. They're more important to me than what the Bible says.
Now, my gay friends and the people in my family who identify as gay are important to me, too. But they're not more important to me than what the Bible says. In fact, my gay friends and the people in my family who identify as LGBTQ matter so much to me, I tell them what the Bible says. See where the church is? See what's going on with our paper money today?
I want you to look. What do you see? Do you see 2 towers standing there? Like there's nothing wrong with them? Everything's fine, right? That's what they are. The 2 towers folded like an airplane. Let's move that aside. Let's bring the $10 in. Uh-oh. Something happened. What happened? The towers were hit by something and they appeared to be falling. Let's go to the 20. And now they've fallen even more. Do you see the 2 towers? What else was hit by an airplane on 9/11? Was it the Pentagon? Let's turn it around. And there is the section of the Pentagon. Let's move on to the 50 now. Remember, you saw the 20. They're almost gone. But when you get to the 50, they're gone. The towers are gone.
All paper money in the United States was redesigned back in 1996, supposedly to make it harder to counterfeit. 5 years before 9/11. You don't think somebody knew it was going to happen? You don't think there's a deep state behind the whole thing? Steven Spielberg is coming out with a movie this summer. And the tagline is, all will be disclosed 6/12/26. And he's putting up advertisements for it all over America, just like that billboard you see there in Times Square, New York City. And notice, see the eye with the gray skin around it, the gray skin of a space alien, and it's a left eye, funky left eye like the Antichrist is going to have, Zechariah chapter 11. And notice the shape. It's the shape of a bird, not just a bird, but what? A cardinal. July 1982, President Ronald Reagan's code name for UFO was what? Cardinal. See what's coming? The spirit of Antichrist preceding his arrival into the hell of the Great Tribulation. But Christians, we got to realize, Jesus did not save us for that. In fact, the rapture, Jesus Christ is going to save us out of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. And what Jesus saved us for is that right there. It's the four square city with streets made out of solid gold. A heavenly city, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles tall. And God will be with us. And He will be our God. And we will be His people. Amen. And He will wipe every tear away from our eye. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. People, Jesus is coming. And it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the only question is, are we willing to wait for it? Don Leach was a husband and father from Des Moines, Iowa. And years ago, he was on his way home from work, and he saw a little puppy fall out of the back of a pickup truck. So he stopped and ran over there, and it was a golden retriever, a female, about 6 months old. So he ran the driver down, and come to find out, the driver didn't care at all about the puppies. He was just selling them for money. So Don Leach says, I'll give you $200 for that little female right there. Driver took the money. Don Leach took the dog home, named her Daisy. And for the next 14 years, Don Leach and his wife and their kids had another member of their family. Because Don Leach loved that little dog like one of his own kids and gave it all the love and all the compassion and all the discipline and all the training that that dog could stand. And Daisy loved her life and loved her family and loved her master so much, she obeyed perfectly. Every single thing that Don Leach told her to do, she did it with joy, unfailingly. And Daisy had this special trick that she would do. Don Leach would put a dog biscuit on the end of Daisy's nose. And she would balance that dog biscuit as long as it took until Don Leach would snap his fingers and say, get it, Daisy, get it, Daisy. She'd wag her tail. She'd flip that dog biscuit up in the air with her nose and she'd chomp it right down. Just like the black chocolate lab does here in the video.
Stay. Look at the drool dripping out of his mouth. Stay.
Wow, Chippy!
Daisy the Wonder Dog. Well, Don Leach was also a troubleshooter electrician for a power company, which meant anything seriously went wrong, he had to go out and fix it. And one night, he was right in the middle of a biscuit trick with Daisy when all of a sudden the phone rang. And it was a dispatcher telling him that there was a substation that was out. He had to fix it as soon as possible. So Don Leach jumped in his truck, drove for 2 hours to the substation, worked there for 3 hours. Drove 2 hours back home. You talk about a long night. Walked into the house, totally wiped out. Walked into the kitchen to fix himself a sandwich. And he thought it was funny because Daisy never met him at the door when he came home. Because Daisy always met him at the door when he came home. So he called her name. There's no response. Called her name again. All of a sudden, he heard this whimpering coming from the living room. So Don Leach walked into the living room. There was Daisy in the exact same position where he left her. That dog biscuit still balanced on her nose, a puddle of drool on the floor by her feet. She'd been waiting for him in that position the whole time. And Don Leach felt so bad, he snapped his fingers and said, get it, Daisy, get it, Daisy. She wagged her tail, flipped that biscuit up in the air with her nose and chomped it right down. Loyal to the core. She'd been waiting for him there for 7 hours. Just like she was told to. Balancing that biscuit on her nose, just like she was told to. Waiting for him to come home, just like she was told to. And Don Leach felt so bad, he got down on the floor next to her, gave all the dog biscuits that she wanted. And Daisy jumped for joy because she was so happy to see him again. So happy to be with him again. So happy for the life that she had with him. Happy because her master was with her. Christians, in these last days, things are getting very dark, they're getting very scary, and they're getting very depressing. Because Jesus is not with us physically. And Jesus did promise to come back, but he didn't tell us exactly when that was going to happen. So sometimes we're going to have to balance those dog biscuits on our noses a lot longer than we would really want to. But see, when Jesus does come back, we're going to get all the dog biscuits that we want. And we are going to jump for joy. So happy to see him again. So happy to be with him again. So happy for the life that we're going to have with him. Happy because our master will be with us. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. Our citizenship is in heaven and we wait for a Savior from there. And I know there's some Star Wars fans saying, well, Kevin, there was a virgin birth in Star Wars. Anakin Skywalker was born to virgin Shmi Skywalker. And what impregnated her was the Force. The Force is the one that got her pregnant. Yeah, but see, the gospel isn't Star Wars. And the God of the Bible is not a force. The God of the Bible is not an it. He's a person. And 2,000 years ago, he personally visited this planet in the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was a real person. And when Jesus was 33 years old, he died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay the price for our sins. So what was conceived in Mary at the first Christmas by the power of the Holy Spirit can be conceived in us this Christmas by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ can be born in us. You're sitting here today listening to this message. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. You've never prayed that prayer to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior. You need to do that today. Nanosecond, this service is over. Get up out of your seat. Come to the front of this church and do business with God. The only response to what Jesus has done is to receive him as your Savior. The other response, you need to praise him. You need to worship him. You need to thank him. You come to him today and then you thank him for the life that he's given you, for saving you from hell, for the salvation that he's provided through his son, Jesus Christ. We thank God for what he's done.